Okay, so right now, what I want to be able to do in being social and social. So, the way that I view social media is an opportunity to be social on these online platforms. So, I know someone's going to look at this and go, okay, hey, he's doing a ton of shout outs to people that are listening to his content. That's not scalable. You can't do that for long term. It doesn't matter. That's like defensive thinking. I don't want to do that because down the road it'll be not manageable. Well, it's manageable right now because I'm only getting like one. Like right now, I have 25 on this one, which is kind of unique, or the previous one. But typically, there's only one or two people that are actually listening to my stuff here on Anchor, so that's okay. Because that thank you is for that person individually, not for the masses. And so I think even though we have these social media platforms and we think about quantity, right, of followers, of users, of retweets, etc. It's not about the quantity as much as it is for me being the producer of content, is me engaging with every single person that I possibly and humanly can that's engaging with my stuff. And so I'm going to try to consume other people's stuff as long as I can in order to make sure that it's a value. At the same time, I understand that other people have own lives and they should understand that I also have a life when it comes to being able to get other things done and accomplished. And so I think sometimes we have a tendency to not make a choice or not make a good decision because we're afraid of or concerned that it might not necessarily be scalable. So, for example, somebody might be like, hey, I want to do a vlog or I want to do a blog, but I just can't post every day. Who said you have to post every day? It doesn't matter what talking head you listen to or you watch, if you know your own ability to have frequency, that's okay. Do you and be okay with that. And don't, I think sometimes we might make a decision based on a defensive move of like, oh no, like this example of, oh, you shouldn't give those shout outs because that's not scalable. Well, what if it's scalable right now? Why shouldn't I do it? Those are my thoughts. Hope you're all doing well on this Friday. Sherm's out. Really, really great insights here, and I like that she, number one, she was recognizing that she was comparing herself to somebody else. She decided to take the step back and say, no, wait, that's me. Those are my own insecurities about comparing myself to someone else and not saying that everybody feels that way, right? We have a tendency to do that a little bit, where we have a tendency to be like, oh no, I'm not flawed at all. It's everybody else that has that problem, not me. Or we have a tendency to say, hey, I'm dealing with this problem, so everybody else must have this problem, right? So I have a struggle with having good relationships, so that means everybody has problems with having good relationships. Not necessarily the case. Some people can have just phenomenal relationships without having it to impose upon anybody else's situation, right? We're all unique and individual, yet we want people to have the same problems we do to a certain extent. Sometimes misery does love company. The other thing that she mentions is just once she does realizes how did she get to this point of being blessed in an unconditional, amazing relationship with a really it sounds like a just a perfect person for her, not a perfect person, just a perfect person for her, is that she recognized very quickly that she portrayed exactly who she was. There wasn't any pretense to it. There wasn't any fakeness to it. It was just, this is me. You can love me unconditionally, you can like what you see or not. Those are your choices, right? And so I think that when we hold ourselves out as our true versions of ourselves, we attract then people that like that version. It doesn't mean that we're not flawed. It just means that that person accepts that there are going to be flaws and accepts you for who you are. And the reality is that we do all have some flaws that we don't want people to find out, right? We do have that closet, right? It reminds me of that old Friends episode, if somebody remembers that one, where Monica has basically this one closet that she doesn't want anybody to find out about, even after she's married to Chandler. And it's just all this stuff that she doesn't know where to find a place for it. And I think we all have those things within ourselves that we're like, oh, those are kind of our flaws. And I think the moment that we accept those flaws, that becomes a very strong victory for ourselves in recognizing that we don't need to be perfect. Now, we want to be constantly moving on something at the same time being very accepting of where we're at. It's kind of this yin and yang situation. So, it's like I think of it like when it comes to my weight. Yes, would I love to have an 8-pack and be totally chiseled? Yes. Am I willing to give up certain things of food? No. Like quantity, like later on today, I'm going to a baseball game. It's all you can eat, hot dogs, burgers, brats, drinks. I'm going to consume myself silly. I'm not going to go there and be like, oh, I'm going to die and I'm going to have carrots. That's just ridiculous to me. But again, that means I need to be accepting with where I'm at right now with my maybe about 15 pounds overweight that where I want to be. Probably about 25 pounds if I want to get the 8-pack style. But that's, hey, those are the choices I'm willing to make, right? And being accepting of that. My thoughts. Really appreciated her segment. Worth the time to check it out. Appreciate it, everybody. Have a fantastic day. Sherms out. Okay, don't know if you noticed it there, but it's because I did something very subtle there and has an accountability partner. Now, it doesn't need to be that you have this mentor or this formal relationship. It's that simple. Hey, friend, feel free to ask me about X, Y, and Z, right? In this case, about steps. And maybe you can go get a personal trainer, spend that money. Maybe that's the push that you need in order to stay accountable, to stay on your fitness plans. It could be one of your best friends who's in phenomenal shape. They got the six pack, they got the lats, they got the triceps and the biceps. They are just a walking gym, really. And you're gonna say, hey, would you mind following up with me occasionally? Right? They're a buddy of yours. It could be a business, a coworker saying, hey, have you talked to your boss yet about the next promotion, right? Have you had that conversation? No, I haven't. Can you follow up with me, please, right? And I think this kind of accountability partner can be extremely valuable if you trust the people that you surround yourselves with. I find so many times in my own life, I have a tendency to surround myself, well, let me take that back. I probably have had strong relationships with people since my college days. Still, it's 20 years later. I'm old and older than some, younger than some. But either way, I'm old, okay? 20 years, freshman year. These are guys I'm still friends with to this day. We're on a group text message, and I'll still reach out to those guys. Just did today, said, hey guys. Sent a mass group. Now, of course, there's some inappropriate responses and things like that, but that's just my friends. That's how we are. But at the same time, I can reach out to these guys, and they will be there for me. They will go to bat for me. And so I'd say that we need to surround ourselves with people that support us, and they don't need to do everything for us because most of the time, if let's say it's a health and nutrition thing, they can't stop me from eating junk. They can't make me go to the gym, right? I got to do those things or exercise, right? I shouldn't say gym because if you want to just go run around and play soccer or in a softball team, like you can get your exercise any way that you want. And so I think that can be extremely useful is just, I'm going to use this word audit because I think it's being thrown around quite a bit, but just evaluate. What are your friends? Audit your friends, your closest people that you associate with. Are they Debbie Downers or are they uplifters? And what I mean by that is, are they constantly telling you about their problems in their life? So they're not even bringing you down or poo-pooing on your ideas. They're just telling you that all the garbage that's going on in their lives, the problems with their health, the problems with their relationships, the problems with their job, their bosses, et cetera, et cetera. And all you end up hearing from them is just this total downer. So after having a couple of drinks with them and you're driving home, you're going through yourselves, oh my gosh, that totally sucked. Like, I did not enjoy that conversation. Or are we surrounding ourselves with people that we reach out to that we're like, oh my gosh, these things are going great for them. At the same time, they're struggling with some things, but they're super excited. Those are the kinds of people we want to surround ourselves with. Hope that helps you get to where you want to go. Surround yourself with winners and believers and supporters. Sherms out. So here's some interesting thoughts. This is so from the follow-up conversation yesterday. After I had the opportunity to speak on servant leadership to the young professionals over a lunch and learn, there's about 30, 35 people there. And so the people that gave me business cards, I reach out to them via email, just thank them for their time, thank them for their attention. If they ask questions, I thank them for the question to be able to help the dialogue. So there's a couple of people afterwards that I reached out to. And so one of them said, hey, we'd love to know a little bit more about your story. And so instead of me, if I'm going to send an email out and it goes beyond like basically one paragraph, I'm going to basically say, hey, let's just meet face to face. Let's talk on the phone because it's going to be a heck of a lot easier than try to type this thing out that I have no idea if you're even going to read it because it's so long-winded. And so she said, sure, let's grab coffee. then she said, "Hey, just I have a few questions that I want to know the answers to. So maybe give you some thoughts to think about." So a couple of the questions that she asked that I thought I'd just kind of address here, that I thought it might be, number one, a way for me to practice out those answers first, and then another one is to be able to just see what your thoughts are on some of my answers and your thoughts on the question themselves. So the first question is how did you get to where you're at? It's a much long-winded conversation. I'll be able to put that in another segment because I think that it could be like an entire episode version of kind of where I'm at, where I'm from. Next question is, how did you overcome struggles in leadership at work? And so I think that basically means is, how did you deal with leadership that you didn't, or managers that you didn't necessarily agree with or see eye to eye on? The next question is, what makes you stand out? And then finally, the last question is, how do you take good work and make it excellent? So the one that I want to address first is the one that, how do you overcome struggles with leadership at work? And so this is going to be more business driven. So I apologize if anyone that's listening to this is like, oh my gosh, this is so boring, I don't care about business. But think of this more from a communication standpoint. I think you can kind of synthesize the importance of that old adage, it's okay to disagree, right? Let's agree to disagree. The problem is oftentimes when people say that phrase, they don't actually mean it. They still want to be able to have an argument or a debate about who is actually right. The reality is that a lot of times there's really no black or white version of right and wrong, especially in certain in relationship standpoint. So for example, if let's say at work, a boss and I don't see the same way of how something should get accomplished. Number one is, I want to know if it's one of those situations where they're basically in a pull rank and say, you know what, I'm at the top of this totem pole, this pyramid, if you will, and we're going to do what I say. That's fine. And then I have to follow the line and then bust my hump to be able to see that thing through. Or is this something that we're talking about project-wise, that my butt's on the line, I have the ability to be delegated the responsibility of leadership. And if that's the case, I want to be able to have that opportunity. And so it really comes down to, number one is understanding your leadership and your management that you deal with at work. Number one is, do you have a good relationship that you can have that kind of transparent conversation that you feel comfortable disagreeing with that individual? The other one is, understand that when it comes to disagreeing, it doesn't need to be in the big boardroom or the conference room where there's everybody else there and you're basically calling that other person out and saying, hey, their idea is stupid, right? Be tactful. Have those kind of conflict conversations maybe behind closed doors where it's okay if the conversation gets a little bit heated. There's really no reason to ever yell at anyone in a work setting, but it happens, right? And then the other thing that makes me think of is, in those conversations that we're having, if it does get a little bit heated behind closed doors, where does the buck stop, right? Does it land with that individual, right? The manager, they can make the call, and then they respect that my opinion was heard. So you really need to understand the leader that you're sitting across from and you're talking to. Do they respect you by having kind of an opposing view? Or do they want you to be more like a yes person and just agreeing with everything that they do? And so ultimately, I want to identify, number one is, can I help this person get to where they want? And then in turn, will they help me get where I want? So for example, if I can help this manager that I'm working with get promoted, do they look at me and are they kind of the personality that's going to take me with them? And if the answer is a no to that, then I don't want to necessarily stick my neck out and make myself vulnerable if they might end up stepping on it. So know kind of who you're dealing with. Sherms out. Okay, so I had a great presentation at the Associated Bank, really well, very receptive group. Went about 20 minutes, talked about basically the dash. And if you're not familiar with that one, it's basically if you were to go to a cemetery and look at headstones, not that necessarily you want to go do that, but if you were to, you'd see that it has the year that someone's born, or the actual specific date. Then it has the year that they were actually passed away. And then in the middle, it has the dash. And so your entire life is summed up in that dash. And the question is what will people say about you? What would you want them to say about you? And as you think about the dash that's in your life, what kind of legacy do you want to be leaving? What kind of legacy do you want to leave to your family, to friends? There's this old practice that's done by 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, where you actually write your own eulogy of what you would want people to say about you in your life. And the interesting thing about that is, as you write that out, you often write what's most important to you
in your priorities in life, and that can really help identify whether your decisions are aligned with what's actually happening. So the question, what is your dash? What will be your legacy? Sherm's out.
Had a wonderful opportunity to talk to the Associated Bank employees tonight at the Wisconsin Woodchucks game up here in Wausau, Wisconsin, where I live. That's basically the center of Wisconsin, for those of you that aren't familiar with the area. And it was a group, an association that belongs within Associated Bank. They was the Young Professionals Association, and also those that are focused on cultural awareness network within, again, Associated Bank. And so there's people that had been working there for basically anywhere between like 2 years or 1 year, all the other people that have been working there 35 years. So a nice group of people that were there. And one of the things that I focused in on was the dash, right? And so what that is where you're born a certain year, you die a certain year, and in the middle is that dash and what your legacy should be. And as I was talking with someone there afterwards, one of the in the bio, the introduction, the guy's named Mike, as he introduced me, one of the things that he said is that I guarantee that if you talk to Sherman, you will really enjoy the conversation. And I was like, man, that is quite the bold statement you put out there. And so, but it was a great opportunity because then people were interested and intrigued to talk with me. And so had a wonderful opportunity to talk with a lot of the employees, getting to know them, build out my local network here in the city that I live in. And it was just wonderful to hear their stories. And as I'm talking with those individuals, I want to show interest, genuine, sincere interest in who they are and to learn their story. Because at the heart of who I am, I love people and I love to hear their stories. I view people just kind of like a book, and that I want to know their lives. I want to know what they're going through, and I want to see if I can help them get to where they want to go. And that's what I am. Kind of emboldens me. That's what really gets me excited. It really puts oxygen in my tank, gas in my tank, if you will, if we use the analogy of a car. I guess oxygen is if I'm a scuba diver. Either way, it just buoys me up with the opportunity where I can engage with people on a regular basis. And so really enjoyed that opportunity. And you never know where these things can go. So this was a unique week in that I was talking to the young professionals over a lunch and learn on Thursday. And then, Wednesday, and then have the opportunity to speak on Friday evening to an employee group. So we'll see where this can take us. It's just June. We're just beginning. Sherm's out.